You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
And we go straight into a very unfortunate, kind of short version of Let's Talk Cancer. Welcome to our guest here today. Her name is Ms. Kyra Barker, and she is a colon cancer survivor. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. How are you doing?
Good morning, and welcome. And good morning to your listeners as well. I'm Kyra Barker, stage 3 rectal cancer survivor. I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking.
So I know as a survivor, telling the story is part of the whole process, and, you know, giving advice and giving the different milestones of the journey does help persons out there who are currently at different stages. So you are now in remission, yes?
Yes, well, I'm cancer-free. I've been cancer-free since 2023, so 3 years. I'm not sure if the doctors will officially call it remission as yet, but I'll say cancer-free.
Cancer-free. And yeah. I know that it has been a very up and down type of journey where you see gains and then some days you wonder, why am I going through this? So let's go back to the very beginning of it and the signs and symptoms of colon cancer. I believe, is it this month that you recognize colon cancer as well?
Yes, March is colorectal cancer awareness month.
Mm-hmm. So tell us these symptoms, the first symptom that made you say, well, okay, this is something that is not normal. I need to go to the doctor to check it out.
So what's interesting is that these symptoms happen and you mistake it for other things. And so I did not necessarily think anything was wrong until everything was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so what actually prompted me to physically go to the doctor was Mother's Day of 2022. I came home from brunch with my mom and then just started projectile vomiting. And that is when I said, okay, something is absolutely wrong. Because in the maybe weeks or maybe 2 months prior to that, I started getting these really intense abdominal cramps, like beyond anything I've ever experienced. And in addition to that, I was burping excessively and feeling really, really fatigued. But again, I chalked it up to different things. Maybe I had a gluten intolerance. Maybe I'm exercising too much. All of these different things I thought could have contributed to something else, but definitely not this. And so when I presented all of my symptoms to my doctor, and this is why it's important to present your symptoms to your doctor and not try to self-medicate or go to pharmacies, she was then able to understand, like, okay, maybe this is something a little bit bigger, and she referred me to the gastroenterologist. And at that point, he suggested that I do an endoscopy as well as a colonoscopy. Now, it was really important that he suggested the colonoscopy because I was well below the recommended age of 45, because I was 34 at the time. But he said, out of an abundance of caution, he recommended it, and I obliged because I just wanted to know what was going on with me. And so it's really important, again, when the doctors make these recommendations, that we do oblige because we don't know what's happening. There was no way he expected to find the size of tumor that was inside of my colon. Stage 3 was it was a huge tumor. And so it was really important that we did that colonoscopy to ascertain what was going on.
Now, how to put this question? They say that there are different things that causes cancer. For example, throat cancer, smoking, breast cancer. Well, they haven't quite figured out what causes that as yet, but every cancer seems to have a beginning. What is the cause of colon cancer? Or is there like different ways that...
I don't believe there's an exact cause. I think it's a combination of different things, different lifestyle decisions in terms of, you know, your nutrition. There's also the hereditary risk based on whether you have any family members with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they say there's no direct correlation between stress and cancer, but when you're in a high-stress environment and that lifestyle that you live while you're high-stressed, not getting enough rest, not eating properly, not having enough water and fluids, and, you know, just really being on edge, it kind of creates an environment where cancer cells could thrive, right? And so those are all the factors that will come together to possibly, I guess, make a cancerous cell. Now, mm-hmm. now, cancer is really when your cells are naughty and they do not follow the live, grow, die pattern.
Radical cells. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when they don't die, they just continue to multiply and replicate, and then they organize themselves and form what we call a tumor. So mm-hmm. there's no one specific cause of the cancer, but it's a number of factors. And given that mine was at the stage that it was at 34, when I asked my doctors, well, how long has this been growing inside of me? They indicated that colon cancers or tumors are actually very slow growing tumors. And so they estimated it would have started with, in order for them to catch it before it became cancerous, would have been 10 years prior. So it would have started growing 10 years prior to that point. So I would have been 24. Nowhere am I thinking something is going on inside of me.
I mean, at 24, we thinking about, you know, I don't want to say partying so much, but, you know, social life.
And the interesting thing about colon cancer as well is that it goes largely undetected for a long time. Because you don't necessarily get symptoms. So I definitely didn't have any symptoms at 24, 25, 30, right? I would say maybe if I'm thinking back, maybe a year prior to my actual diagnosis, I did see some traces of blood in my stool. But again, you know, sometimes you pass that off as maybe it's a hemorrhoid or something like that, because it wasn't any significant amount to cause any alarm or for me to think that it was anything serious that was happening. But these are the actual signs, the blood in the stool, the inability to pass stool. So not just general constipation, but literally you feel everything in your body saying to go and nothing is happening. I call it ghost poop. That is a key indication that there is some kind of blockage. It's not a direct indication that it's cancer, but there may be a blockage in your colon, and that blockage may be a tumor that's cancerous.
So preventative measures. I mean, I instantly think colon, that's part of your digestive system. So probably as much as you didn't like it growing up, a purge ever just before, you know, if you keep it in time before September or something like that. Would that be a good recommendation?
I would say just generally try to maintain a healthy colon. So when you think about healthy colon, you always hear about eating fiber, drinking lots of water, ensuring you take your probiotics as well, and then eat nutrient-dense foods. Mm-hmm. Those are the key things to maintain. I mean, good health overall, but also a healthy colon. There is also some studies now that are showing the correlation towards red meat and highly processed foods. So the bacon, the hot dog, sausages,
that's
all
everything.
Of those things. Because after overcoming my diagnosis, my oncologist let me know without a shadow of a doubt, cut those things out of your diet completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might steal and have a burger once a year, but definitely you're not eating beef regularly. You're not eating bacon regularly. You're not eating processed meats like ham, sausages. All of those things, because they're actual chemicals and nitrates in them, that when they go and they interact with the natural chemicals in your body, in your stomach, they cause toxins, essentially.
So it is very important to read labels and to know those ingredients that you just talked about. Were there any specific ones that was listed by your oncologist to definitely stay away from?
No. I don't think he mentioned any specific ingredient, but for me coming out of this and obviously being at a higher risk of recurrence, I have personally tried my best to stay away from any kind of preservatives in foods, any of those dyes, those red and yellow dyes, and then reduce the salt intake, so no monosodium glutamate and all of these things. And then, of course, I like I said, make sure that most of the sources of the ingredients are from natural sources, which is really hard to do, especially when you even think about your vitamins that you take, your multivitamins. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are derived from chemical sources. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that a lot of the food that we eat, because we want to have a long shelf life, they're packed with preservatives. Mm-hmm. So I sort of sacrifice things that have a long shelf life the things that have a shorter shelf life, less preservatives, and closer to being in the natural form.
So what is your budget for food look like? I mean, because well, that's almost everything.
I say everybody has priorities, right? So I may not be spending on certain things that other people think are a priority. Mm-hmm. And so I cut back on that, and then I ensure that I try my best to be nutritious.
And just to give a little perspective, what is the one famous Trini delicacy or food that you loved before diagnosis that you definitely had to take out of your diet?
I would definitely say those roadside burgers. Those burgers were so good.
Mm.
Those smash burgers, yeah. In South, we used to have a bad habit.
Mm.
That was the name of it. Yeah, definitely not doing any of those.
Oh, goodness. All right. And
but I still eat in my curry, like, religiously.
Yeah.
I'm never giving that up.
So is
but
it?
I will do curry goats. I wouldn't do curry beef.
Right. So is it that a more, would you say, veggie-oriented diet is a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Should I say cleaner or stronger to attach to?
I don't want to scare people into thinking that they have to eat a certain way. I mean, mm-hmm. everything in moderation. And definitely when you're thinking about your portion and the composition of your plate, you know, they ask you to ensure that you have your green leafy vegetables, mm-hmm. ensure you have your bright orange carrots and those kind of things. Definitely adjust the portions of the servings, especially in Trinidad. We love to have the fried rice and the macaroni salad, the macaroni pie and the potato salad, and then three types of meat on your Sunday lunch plate.
No, I'm not going to say that's Sunday lunch.
Just pull back. Pull back a little bit. So it's not saying not to eat the things that you actively enjoy. Just one, ensure that, you know, especially as the other presenter was saying before me, ensure that you use healthy fats
mm-hmm.
and those kind of things mm-hmm. in your meals so that you're still able to eat what you love, but cook it more nutritiously.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of exercise, what are some of the exercises that you've introduced into your life that you say, well, boy, I never thought that I could be exercising this way?
Well, actually, prior to diagnosis, I was actively doing strength training, and I believe that definitely contributed towards my ability to recover and be resilient during this grueling process that I went through and be able to quote-unquote bounce back. Now, it was a tremendous journey, and because of the abdominal surgeries that I did, it did take some time for me to recover physically. But I would say strength training and really building your muscle mass and ensuring that your body composition in terms of your body fat percentage to your muscle mass ratios are a little bit more balanced, if not more skewing towards the muscle mass being a higher percentage.
Mm-hmm.
That really ensures that you are aging well overall, right? And not just trying to, you know, avoid certain diseases, but just ensure that your body is prepared for whatever comes around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, in terms of networking and community, tell us a little bit about that. Is there a community that you interact with a lot that gives you yes. that support?
So we have the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, and there is a survivors network in there. There's a very active WhatsApp group. Admittedly, I'm not very active because they talk all the time in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely provide a really great support network, not just for survivors, but for folks who are actively going through the illness as well. And within there, we share with each other, you know, if somebody has a certain type of cancer, hey, a friend of mine is going through XYZ. As a survivor, can you reach out to them and share support and that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then overall, I maintain my friends and family groups and circles within churches as well. So at the beginning of this month, actually in church, I had a Blue Sunday where I invited the members of the congregation to wear blue in support of colorectal cancer awareness. And I would have shared a little bit about my testimony as well as, you know, things that they need to look out for, encourage folks to do screenings because mm-hmm. screenings are important, both colonoscopies and the FIT test, which is the fecal immunochemical test, which is less invasive than the colonoscopy, if you're a little bit afraid of the colonoscopy. And of course, I gave out some fruits to the congregation as well, because I'm saying if I'm speaking about colon health, I have to make sure that you're healthy too. Mm-hmm. So I would do little activities like these to share with communities, because so many people, I wouldn't say suffer in silence, but they don't talk about it. Every time I give any sort of public talk in a group setting, whether it's at church or at a company or organization, folks come up to me afterwards and say, hey, you know, my dad had this, or my mom had this, or my cousin is going through this. And you never know, or even themselves, they're going through it. And, you know, they're saying, thank you for sharing. This is information that, you know, I may not have come across on my own. So I think that is what is absolutely important, especially as survivors. I personally feel that I have a duty to share the knowledge, advocate for better awareness of the disease, and really demystify the treatment journey so that people aren't as afraid as they typically are when they think about, you know, a cancer diagnosis. We know that cancer is very taboo in the Caribbean region. They call it the big C, but we need to start speaking more openly about it so that people can make more informed decisions and not be afraid and suffer in silence.
And is the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society having any events to recognize colorectal cancer for this month? We've got about 2 more minutes to go.
I know the Cancer Society recognizes all cancers in all of the activities that they do. They have been sharing a lot of information on their social media profiles specifically related to colon cancer awareness. So I would definitely encourage folks to check out the Cancer Society on Instagram and on Facebook, and stay tuned to a lot of the events that they do in support of all of the cancers under the umbrella.
Thank you so much, Ms. Barker, and continued strength and health for 2026 and beyond.
Yes, thank you so much.
Take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.